Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
That's the radio.
And we are also online now.
What's the number? What's
UMFM.com. You can look us up on... Check out all the other stuff on UMFM.com, too. You can catch a lot of past episodes of a whole bunch of other shows we got going on.
Free promo.
Free promo. Anyway, if your particular interest is video games, like ours is, then this is the show for you.
Yeah. We like video games.
Well, I do, sometimes. Sometimes. We collect video games. We talk about video games a lot.
Yes.
And sometimes we even play them.
Yeah, I got to play a video game. Well, I got to play two, actually, but...
Well done. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah.
And we do sass each other in front of an audience.
What? No.
So what video games have you been playing over the past week, Alice?
Megan. I don't know. Well, okay. I want you to tell me first because we're gonna do the sandwich because I'm gonna talk about the very bad game that I played that I ragged on last week.
Okay, we're gonna do this okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess about a year ago I went and picked up a little game called Anodyne and played it on the PlayStation 4. Yeah. And you were very kind to gift me the follow up. Anodyne 2, Return to Dust.
It was on sale, and I love buying video games. So much?
It can be a very bad habit to start collecting video games that you just never get a chance to play, because I've got so many now.
No, I'm slowly working through my Steam list. It's fine. I keep adding to it, though. It's fine.
So, Anodyne 2, Return to Dust, is brought to you by Analgesic Productions. And the music is by Melos Handhani, who, they have some very strange projects on the go. And I'm really, really enjoying them.
I love the music a lot in this. Anodyne, the first one, was, you could say, very similar to, like, Game Boy versions of Zelda?
Zelda. Right? I would definitely say it was a very Zelda-esque.
Inspired game. Whereas this one, visually, like, it absolutely takes from that, but the main world that you're in looks like a PlayStation 1 game. Like a 3D PlayStation 1 game, right?
I would even say, like, an N64... esque.
Yeah, like I get more PlayStation vibes, and that's just because I've played more PlayStation. I think there's just more crunchy graphics, and the way that the text is, it just feels like an old PS JRPG. Like, there's so much, there's a lot interesting. Like, another game that this really reminds me of actually is Threads of Fate, I think. Also called Dew Prism. Well, fine. If you haven't played it, it's fine.
Is it worth checking out?
Yeah, maybe I will emulate it. I do have a copy, but I don't want to play it on PlayStation. I don't want to live like that.
Those long load screens.
It's a cool game. But regardless, so Dust is the... you don't have to play the first one to understand the second one.
And they also tell you at the very beginning that they are both standalone games. They are of similar themes,
mm-hmm.
but they take place in separate worlds, so far as we know.
So you play as this little robot, kind of? Organic?
You are Nova, the cleaner, and you have been born and tasked with cleaning out dust. Out of this little world.
Out of people. Yeah.
Out of people. And you...
I use that term loosely. Yeah. Because there's, like, a terrifying... I hate... What is
denizens.
This? Yeah, denizens
of this world.
There's a dolphin guy that I hate. I hate him so much. There's a lot that are really great. Like, visually, they're just... they feel kind of wacky. They feel, like, a little bit... remind me of Moon, you know?
Yeah, the character designs are like Moon RPG.
The wackiness.
Remakes.
Like, in that sort of wacky, but then they are this 3D, low-poly, fun, textured creatures, right?
And I love it that the children versions of these are just scale.
Tiny versions. Yeah. It's beautiful. That's how it should be.
So they're dolphins in sport socks.
Yeah, what are they called?
They all have unique names. That's the thing, yeah. Is they don't have a species name. No. They'll be like Dolphy Kid, Dolphy Man, oh, okay. Distracted Dolphy Woman.
Anyway, I hate them.
And I love them. I think.
No, they're creepy. They're Uncanny Valley a little too much for me. Anyway.
So you have been brought to life by these two entities known as Sea Psalmist and Palades.
Palisade.
And they are entities of the center, which seems to be the strange religious undertone we got going on here. The center is like for perfect symmetry, and having the dust around ruins that symmetry.
Well, your character, the sea psalmist, right? That's a psalm. Very direct religious thing.
Yeah, and she carries around a harp, and she's not good with kids.
Yeah, I like the way they introduce, I guess, very important characters. And they give, like, basically, it's like Nova, it's like a freeze frame, and then Nova has little notes about them.
Like a Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner situation?
Yeah, it kind of is. And then there's sort of, you know, like, question about, like, you know, who is it? You know, it's very cute. I think that's a nice little addition.
And the humor that they use in this game is just so good. Like, it is very aware of what it is, and I love that. You're like, I can't explain it because it is so weird and so visual.
Yeah.
But it's just, they play on names. I know there's going to be a character that people really like called LGBT.
Okay.
Which is like a play on LGBT.
Oh, that's cute. But also elegy, which is like, yeah, sort of music, because I guess there's music stuff in this game. Like, obviously, the music is interesting because it's also, like, atmosphere as well, right? Like,
the atmosphere of the hub world, I find very disconcerting with the music.
But it's good.
But the dungeons are, like, very bright and vibrant, and they're very much like the original Anodyne. You're going in, solving puzzles.
Yeah, it's like the Legend of Zelda style.
Yeah, but
top down.
You don't get any extra items. You just get to use what you have on hand and whatever the enemies that you can attract or use. It's not really an item thing you can use in any other dungeon.
Yeah, but you only have like a little vacuum cleaner, yeah, basically, right? That you can suck or blow.
Yeah, in the original one, Anodyne 1, you only had a broom.
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah. You upgraded your cleaning equipment.
Yes.
You can also turn into a car in the main world, or the overworld, huh?
So this is great because it means that you're not running at a slow pace. This is what helps you go faster because this overworld is huge. Like, this is not a small scale overworld where you can just run to someplace in like a minute. This is, you got to go very far, and it can take you a good couple minutes, even in the car.
Yeah, I think one of the cooler things you're saying is like it feels really good, and it feels like, you know, they checked off all of the things that were not enjoyable about an old style PlayStation platformer, and made it really fun and smooth sort of thing.
Yeah, like the jump button, you get a double jump, which is always appreciated. So you get rewarded for exploring the world. That was a thing that we always talk about, is how it's so
unsatisfying. Well, if you're going to have a big world, you better have things for me to look at. Like, and pick up and be like, oh, I'm rewarded for my venturing out into the big wide world.
And one of the early jokes in the first chunk of the game, I'm not done yet, I'm going to be beating it hopefully sometime this week. One of the running jokes is you have someone who's like, look at this blue wall. It does nothing, but you can climb all the way up to the top. It has no secrets. And you're like, this can't be just there for no reason other than that, just to mess with me. And I have found other walls that you can just sort of sneak up. And I'm not sure if it's a glitch that they...
No, it sounds like, well, maybe it is a bug that they're aware of, that they just are like, the feature, it's now a feature. That kind of reminds me of like in Lisa, and when there's like a thing that says like, don't climb this.
Yeah.
And then you have to climb all the way down because it won't let you die, like, to restart. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds actually very interesting.
Yeah, and one last point, there is a rhythm game aspect to break into the various dungeons.
I guess it's not that much of a rhythm, more like a button quick time event to an extent, because I thought there was music Because it felt a little like DDR or something, right?
They could have done that, and I'm almost kind of glad that they didn't, but it...
Because you don't like rhythm games.
I just have no sense of real rhythm.
Yeah.
But it's not hard to get past. It's kind of foolproof unless you miss a whole bunch of them at the same time. But they are getting a little harder as I progress along.
Of course. Yeah.
Of course.
Makes sense.
So I definitely would recommend checking out Anodyne 2, Return to Dust. It is such a fun game, especially if you're a fan of old 3D platformers, old RPGs. If you like a little bit of dungeon crawling in a 2D style. Definitely, everything I liked about the original Anodyne is here and better.
Yeah, it looks like a really, really interesting game. Like, visually, it has a lot. I do appreciate the characters aside from the dolphin that I hate.
I love them. No. Anyway, you had games that you were playing.
Yeah.
So tell me about the not-so-great game first.
Yeah, we do the compliment sandwich. So I made Megan download me the Balan Wonderworld.
I repressed
demo.
It.
Yeah, right? You don't remember because it was, like, very inconsequential. So, like, I feel most of the things I said last week still stand. So Balan Wonderworld is a platformer, .. 3D platformer that is a full price game that feels like it could be a mobile game. Like that's how it feels. It is the last quote unquote maybe the last venture between the people who originally did Sonic, who made Sonic.
Yuji Naka's last hurrah.
Yeah, he said if this didn't go, he would not try again, which is kind of sad, but this is just a very, it's bad. I know they've fixed some things for the real game, or the actual game, but, like, on the whole, I don't know if you can fix.
I want him to stay with his art direction and music direction.
Yeah, like, there are things about this game that are okay.
Balan is a neat character design.
He's neat. He's okay. Like, I don't, it's fine. I think that's probably the most interesting part. So, I played the Balan Wonderworld demo. It's so bad. It's such a bizarre thing, and it feels such a waste of time. Like, and it's just, like, altogether kind of a disappointment. You're basically a character. The opening cutscene is probably the most enjoyable part of this game, and that's not good. It's just kind of weird. The gameplay isn't fun. It does have that thing, basically, like, which I think is one of the weirdest parts, is that all of your buttons are tied. Like, basically, there are 6 buttons on the controller.
Right.
6 buttons. Or, well, there's more than 6 buttons, but...
Well,
6 buttons on the controller were tied to one action. The same action.
Oh.
Which I couldn't, like, that, and the same... Your character can only do one action. When they're in their normal little outfit, it's jump.
So I could play this with, like, an original Nintendo controller, is what you're saying.
You could play it with a joystick and an Atari controller. Like, as long as there's one button and the joystick, yeah. So what you do is you collect costumes, and these costumes give you abilities and powers. There's 80. I think the worst part about it, like... they're so irrelevant. Like 90% of them are irrelevant because they are either the same thing or the same thing but better. So why would you ever use that one? And these costumes only give you one ability, which is tied to those six buttons. So sometimes that ability is just shoot fire because you're a little dragon. That means you can't jump. At all. So you have to switch to a character that can jump, or a costume that can jump.
And if you happen to lose that costume, you can't have that skill at all.
Exactly. So then you have to go back to your regular costume, your regular human body, to be able to jump over things. It's really flawed. There's not a lot of fun. I did the really bad Balan's boat quick time event where you just wait for him to show up. and merge with another shadow of himself or sort of thing, like an overlay. It's very bad, and I had to do it like 4 times to get the thing, and it's not fun. It's kind of visually interesting, but it's bad. I think I spent maybe like half hour to 40 on, and I beat the whole demo. Like, I beat the level. Ugh. And I beat the boss. The boss of which I just had to hit 3 times. It was just regular. Like, I could have done fancier things to get more things, but...
Wasn't there, like, minor mini-bosses or stronger enemies that you also had to hit 3 times? I feel like there was one or two.
There was... Basically, any of the creatures you have to hit with your powers. You can't hit them as a regular kid. It's just bad. It's disappointing. You have these things called Tims, which are replacement Chows, and they're just irrelevant.
Chows are from Sonic Adventures 1 and 2, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, and it's literally a ripoff of the Chow Gardens from that, which was a fun thing that people like to play the game. Like, you could, there is a large portion of people who like the Sonic games because of Chow Garden only.
I am one of them.
To an extent. But there are people who just played it just to play the Chow Garden and breed Chows and make them cool and fight them and put them in races. The Tims do nothing except you feed them gems that you collect throughout the level, and then they get bigger. They sometimes pick up things for me, but then they like take, like, they, I'm far away by the time I've noticed that they're picking up, and they're like dragging behind, so just like,
what's the point,
Tim? You're slow.
Tell me about a game that you do like.
Yeah, so, well, okay, this was a game that Battle of Wonderland wasn't kickstarted, but this was kickstarted. It's called Pray for the Gods, and it was originally just called Pray, and I will note that this is called P-R-A-Y? No.
A-I-Y.
A-E-Y.
A-E-Y?
Yeah, like Pray, yeah. And they originally, it was going to be, I think, just like Pray as in like praying. But the reason they couldn't do that is because, actually, no, it was going to be like Prey, like Hunter and Prey sort of thing. They couldn't do that because Bethesda made a game or published a game or produced a game called Prey, and they were bullied to change their name, which is, I'm like, thank you for, like, and a game that could have been really cool. Well, that would have been a good name for it. Regardless, Pray for the Gods isn't the worst. It's, like, as a title, I mean.
No. How is the game itself?
It was a game I kickstarted. I don't remember when. But I remember the interest was, it was something like Bloodborne meets Shadow of the Colossus. So I was like, oh, that sounds cool. I love both of those video games. I will check it out. And so... Just recently, I think the alpha's been out for a while, actually. The version I could have played has been out for a while, but I just recently got to it. So you play as character in Lost Land.
Very Viking inspired.
It is entirely Viking inspired. There is the Yggdrasil, the life tree of life, that is in this. It is very Norse myth inspired, which I think is fine. One of the coolest parts about this game is, like, it's really, really big. And you're very small.
Like a Breath of the Wild sort of situation?
It is. Okay, yeah, yeah. So, I would say, like, if I had to say what this game is, like, gameplay-wise, it's Breath of the Wild meets Shadow of the Colossus. With more of Shadow of the Colossus, like, gameplay slash how the mechanics are, which isn't necessarily the greatest. I think there could be some smoothing out of, like, the overall motion and controls of stuff. But so far, I'm not hating it. I've sort of switched around my controls a couple times just to find the way that I like. But basically, this is it's a Shadow of the Colossus situation where you have to kill a bunch of big monsters that are in this land.
Right.
Yeah. You get the first weapon, quote unquote, that you get a, basically, it's a hook shot, right?
Like, right.
There's a hook shot, bow and arrow, club, and I guess I haven't got anything else. And those are sort of the items that you can use. There are enemies that are sort of floating around. I feel they're more like your regular skeleton warriors. So that's kind of like, it's a little lackluster, but it's whatever. There is a pretty high survival element to this game. So there's like a heat meter because you're in the snow all the time. There's a hunger meter and a stamina meter. It's very similar to Breath of the Wild style. Like, even down to when you open up the, like, the menu.
Yeah.
It's very reminiscent of that. And, like, I don't necessarily think it's the worst thing. This game is an alpha, so things like UI could definitely change and, you know, differentiate it. I don't think it's the worst to rip off that at this point in time. But the rest of it is fairly interesting. And I guess the other thing is that, you know, I'm familiar with that kind of setup for to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty neat. It does, like, for all the things that feel different, it does so much that is so similar. I don't hate that it's just so similar to Shadow of the Colossus. It's just kind of, it's very blatant. You know, you have your areas on the Colossi. I don't know. They're not called that. But there's areas on them that basically you have to sort of hit, and you hit them 3 times, and then they die, sort of thing. Well, there's 3 areas, 3 times, so 9. It does feel like it's a little more of a challenge. Like, things can kill you a little easier. Like, I feel in Breath of the Wild, or even in Shadow of the Colossus, I was safer, or, you know, there was less of a worry that things would kill me easy.
Right.
This is a little bit, like, a little more stressful, I think, things, like, because I think they're taking that out of the Dark Souls thing or whatever, and I don't hate that. Once again, it's interesting.
Was it satisfying to defeat that very first boss that... I was watching you play.
You watched me do it the first time. I did it another time, and it was more satisfying because I understood the controls. Because the first time I played it, I had on the regular controls, and it's just things like the jump button and the grab button are, like, way too close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't jump and grab, which is an essential part in this.
Right.
So I then switched it around to buttons that were not close to each other so I could do things. It's fairly interesting. One thing I figured out yesterday is that I can actually start on the bosses not in order. I can go out of order. I was kind of thinking this was very like Shadow of the Colossus, where basically you can show up to places, but the Colossus won't be there until the order is done.
You can't trigger the...
I was kind of wondering by where I was going, if you know, it's sort of like, this feels like a place that a boss could be at, but I'm just going to go in the other direction instead of, like, the way that I'm going to go, like, supposed to go.
Yeah.
Because I was just looking around, and I stumbled on another boss, which I don't know how to beat. Really, and I had, like, 2 items.
You, like, probably do need a particular item to go after.
Well, I think I need more fire, but the thing is, once again, I had literally just beat the first boss, and it just sort of leaves you, and you get your sailcloth, which, once again, Breath of the Wild, hardcore.
This is pretty much Shadow of the Colossus, but cold.
Yeah, and Breath of the Wild, but, like, it's always the more ice cold. Level. Yeah, and I don't necessarily think those are bad comparisons to make if your games like those games, because I like both those games. I think things like the lore, like, there's little notes everywhere. There's, like, indication that people have been around. There's, like, it's a really huge area, and it does, like, it does encourage you looking around. It does encourage you to grab things. Like, there is an amount of, like, you know, gathering, there's trees to cut down and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, to make fires.
Yeah.
And you can cook, of course. Animals to kill. But there's also things like little, like, mysteries to solve kind of thing. I haven't really figured them out, but there's, like, a bunch of, like, extra little bits in this game. And I've only played, like, maybe about 3 hours. I haven't beat the second monster creature colossi. I haven't beat it yet. It's like a big worm, and it's kind of like, it's fine. It's not the worst creature, but it's like, it might be the least interesting designed of these, but that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't care that much. But it's very interesting. I would check it out. I think it's around $20-ish. Which I think is a pretty decent price, 20 to 30, I think.
Yeah, yeah. For what you're getting, content-wise.
It's a pretty big game. Yeah, I enjoy it. So, but yeah.
Go check out Anodyne 2, go check out Pray for the Gods, and avoid Balan Wonderworld.
Yeah, unfortunately, avoid that.
All right, everybody, that's everything we got for you for this week. Keep changing.
Bye.